Does God promise you health and wealth? The prosperity gospel question. One verse gets quoted on a thousand stages. Let's open the Bible, read it in context, and hand you the pen. By his stripes you are rich? Wait, let's read that. You've heard it. Maybe on a stage with great lighting. Maybe from a relative who means well. God wants you healthy. God wants you wealthy. Just have enough faith. And honestly, it's a beautiful idea. Who doesn't want a God who hands out healing and bank balances? But here's the Berean move. Acts 17 verse 11. The people who examined the scriptures daily to check if what they were told was actually true before you swallow or spit out the idea, open the book and read it slowly. So let's do that. No verdict from me. Just the texts, the original words, and the pen handed to you at the end. The verse on every prosperity poster. This is the big one. The one printed on mugs. 3 John 1 verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The headline verse for prosperity teaching, God wanting you well and well off, in writing. Looks airtight, right? Prosper. In all things. In health. Case closed? Here's where reading the original language changes the temperature of the room. Greek, you do. To have a good journey, to go well. English makes it sound like a wealth guarantee. The word literally pictures a smooth trip down a good road. In the ancient world, you do was a standard friendly greeting at the top of a letter, the way we open an email with hope this finds you well. John is writing to his friend Gaius and basically saying, I hope life's going well for you, brother. That doesn't delete the warmth of the wish. God's people genuinely caring about each other's bodies and circumstances is all over scripture. But it does raise the question, is this a personal note of affection or a doctrine guaranteeing your portfolio? Same words, very different weight. The English flattens a road trip metaphor into a money-back guarantee. Read it in context and decide which one John meant. The plans to prosper you verse. Second most quoted. You've seen it on a graduation card. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The classic promise of God's good plans for your life. Gorgeous. But read the previous sentence and the floor shifts. God says this to people about to spend 70 years as exiles in Babylon. The prosper here isn't skip the hardship. It's I am with you through 70 years of it, and there's a future on the other side. And the Hebrew word doing the heavy lifting is bigger than any bank. Hebrew, shalom. Wholeness, peace, flourishing, not just calm. Far larger than money, it's everything set right, relationships, body, soul, and world. So when you read prosper, is God promising fast cash or shalom, the deep wholeness that can hold you even inside 70 years of waiting? The text invites you to sit with that. The receipt for the tithing promise. Prosperity teaching has a strong card here, and it deserves a fair hearing. Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. A direct, breathtaking promise of overflowing material blessing tied to giving. This is real. It's in the book, and it's bold, God daring his people to test him. The honest question to carry into it, is this a covenant word spoken to the nation of Israel about their harvest and worship, or a universal formula for personal income? Faithful Christians read that boundary differently. Hold it open. And now, the other direction. Here's the thing about being a Berean. You read all of it, not just the verses that fit the mug. So, what does scripture say about God's people who followed him hard and still hurt? Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13. Paul, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The famous I can do all things line is about enduring lack, not unlocking wealth. Plot twist. the I can do all things through Christ tattoo verse? Its actual context is Paul learning to be okay broke and hungry. The superpower he's describing is contentment in want. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 7 to 9. Paul begs God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh. God says no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. A faith-filled apostle, unhealed on purpose. 1 Timothy 6 verses 9 to 10. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. A direct warning about chasing wealth. Matthew 6 verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus pointing the goal somewhere other than the bank. And then there's job, wealthy, godly, and stripped of everything while still being called blameless. Plus apostles who were beaten, jailed, and martyred. Not exactly the testimony of a guaranteed comfort plan. So here's where Christians land, both honestly. Two camps. Read what each actually sees in the text. What prosperity teaching holds. God is a good father who delights to give. Verses like 3 John 1 verse 2, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, and Malachi 3 verse 10 show him wanting his children well and provided for, and they read faith as the key that unlocks his willingness to heal and bless materially. The historic / mainstream reading. God promises his presence, his provision, and final redemption, but scripture deeply honors suffering, job, Paul's thorn, the cross, and warns about the love of money. Blessing is real, but not a guaranteed health and wealth formula. Sometimes the faithful suffer, and God is still good. Notice, both camps are holding actual scripture. Neither is making it up. That's why this one is in the Christians differ here pile. Your turn with the pen. I'm not going to tell you who's right. That's not the job here, and honestly, it's not mine to give. But you've now seen it the way a Berean would, the headline verses, and the ones that rarely make the highlight reel. The Greek that turns a wealth guarantee back into a friendly hello. The Hebrew that makes prosper mean something far bigger than money. So read it again. Slowly. Pray over it. The text is open in front of you. The pen is in your hand. Examine for yourself. Read these passages in context for yourself, pray over them, and bring your questions to your local church and people who love you. This page is a starting line, not a finish line.